Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday morning. Hope you're having a great Monday, going through the month of March. And can you believe it? Lent is, my goodness, only 2 days away. More on that a little bit later in the week. But I do want to let you know that we've got an exciting show, as we always try to have for you every single day. Kristen Hawkins from Students for Life of America is going to be joining me. And boy, talk about timing with everything that's going on with the still most, I think, divisive issue and hot-button issue out there, the issue of abortion, and with these pro-abortion politicians making their extreme views very, very clear, no longer trying to portray themselves as moderate. I believe they're desperate and they're afraid because they realize that Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton could be overturned at the Supreme Court. And so they're really trying to affirm and get as much on the books statewide regarding abortion all the way through 9 months of pregnancy, even after with infanticide. So the students from Students for Life for America are out there pounding the pavement. They are showing up at various events with these really extreme politicians and making their voices heard. And if you have a question for Kristen Hawkins on the latest, she'll be happy to answer that and what you can do to make a difference to help educate others. So we'll take your calls right after the break when we start the interview with her. And then I want to talk a few minutes about the film Unplanned, which opens up at the end of the month. I saw it at the March for Life. I also endorsed the book on which the movie is based, Unplanned, from our friends at Ignatius Press. I thought the film was excellent. There's a lot of folks that are writing us now because the Motion Picture Association slapped it with an R rating. Now, that was completely political. At least that's my personal opinion. I was discussing this with Matt Swaim this morning on the Sunrise Morning Show. If you consider this issue called the rating slide, and Parents Television Council has done an awful lot on this, where what they do is they take a movie that should be an R rating and they make it a PG-13 or a PG. So what they want to do in most cases is push violence and extreme sexual content on young people. They have a huge customer base with teenagers, Hollywood, right? And so they want to make these films, these gross films that are very inappropriate for young people, seem more appropriate, so they give it a PG or a PG-13. Now in the case of Unplanned, what they're trying to do is keep kids away because they know, and you better believe that Planned Parenthood was in on this, I'm sure. They know that Planned Parenthood has a big customer base with young people. And so they want to scare parents into thinking that this movie is inappropriate and, oh, your kids will be traumatized, yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, they have no problem slapping, again, a PG or a PG-13 rating on a film where people are shot up or cut up or, God forbid, whatever else happens, not to mention the graphic sexual content in some of these so-called PG-13 or PG movies. So I want to take a few minutes to respond to a question I received with this in mind this morning. And this gentleman's timing was perfect because in the first hour of my program, I interviewed Michael Kenny. He's the associate executive producer on Unplanned. He's based in our area, a solid Catholic attending a parish in the Archdiocese of Detroit. He's been working in Hollywood for a long time on scripts and whatnot, script writing. And he has a presentation this week at Father John McCardo's parish, Our Lady of Good Counsel in suburban Detroit. He's doing a particular presentation to the audience about the making of Unplanned, and he's addressing this issue of what happened with the Motion Picture Association of America and how, in many ways, despite the frustrating rating, this turned out to be a Romans 8:28 situation. We'll talk about that, and we'll also respond to Joe's question about whether the movie is appropriate for his daughter. It opens up at the end of the month, March 29th, and already in southeastern Michigan, we are co-sponsoring Ave Maria Radio, as well as the Archdiocese of Detroit, co-sponsoring a number of different screenings of the film. And many people, out of the goodness of their hearts, are you know, pitching in, getting together. You can rent a theater for about $2,000. Abby mentioned that when she was on a couple of weeks ago. You get a couple of people together, that's easily doable. Really important, they're going to have information available where at the end of the film you'll see a phone number with information for post-abortive counseling, which I think is huge because I truly believe, as I said this morning, when I was speaking with Matt Swaim, that many post-abortive women and men, maybe they've gone to confession, maybe they have been forgiven for their association with an abortion, but maybe they have not gone through post-abortive healing, which is a whole nother important step that has to be made. So there's a lot that's going to happen with this movie. And that's why You Know Who is trying to throw obstacles in front of it. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We have an open segment at 39 minutes past the hour, so feel free to call in as well if you have a chance. And then we'll have a little snippet from Michael Kenney's interview this morning, because he's a dad of five girls, and he responds to concerns about the R rating, and I think you'll appreciate his perspective. So it is going to be a busy morning today on a Monday. And also, we're praying for families in Alabama. It's just been horrible, the tornadoes that swept through and now have taken some 24 lives, and they're afraid that more, that the death toll will go up because they're continuing their search and their rescue operations today. So just keep those families in your prayers as well. Let's see what's happening in and around the world on this Monday morning, March 4th, 2019. As we mentioned, giving you the latest on those tornadoes that were simply catastrophic after ripping through eastern Alabama yesterday.
It looks almost as if someone took a giant knife and just scraped the ground. There are slabs where homes formerly stood. There are debris everywhere. Trees are snapped.
That's Jay Jones, who confirmed at least 23 people, the sheriff saying they were killed in Lee County, about an hour and a half east of Montgomery. But he's also warning, again, as we said earlier, the death toll could rise because several people remain missing. So far, all of those killed are from the town of Beauregard. The youngest victim is a six-year-old. Jones says Lee County is a very tight-knit community, and it hurts his heart to see this. The contents of one house found over 1,000 yards away. Emergency crews are out searching for injured and missing people. The National Weather Service says at least a dozen tornadoes touched down in Alabama and Georgia yesterday afternoon. Meanwhile, Kay Thornton's niece was one of the victims.
We were hoping that wasn't true, but then the prayer chain on our phones, they all said, you know, she's gone to heaven. She was only 8 years old. It's very heartbreaking. It feels not real. It really does.
President Trump, meanwhile, sending his thoughts to the people of Alabama after those deadly tornadoes hit the state. On Twitter yesterday, the president urging people in Alabama to please be careful and safe. He said the storms that left some 24 dead Sunday were truly violent and warned that more severe weather could be on the way. He's also asking God to bless friends and families of the victims in Alabama and Georgia. And he's right about the weather. Huge storms sweeping across the country, generating deadly tornadoes, and only in the southeast, and dumping snow from California, Sierra Nevada, all the way to New England. Tornadoes, as we just explained, hit Alabama, Georgia, as well as Florida. Farther north, storms bringing bone-chilling temps and producing a lot of snow. Parts of Pennsylvania and New England could get as much as a foot of snow by this evening. Out west, a wind chill warning in effect for southeastern Montana. Now listen to this. Forecasters there say the wind chill could go as low as 45 below zero. Meanwhile, as Sue Gussman explains, old man winter once again rearing its ugly head and causing treacherous conditions for the morning drive in the Big Apple.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is asking folks to use caution and common sense during the morning commute.
We're going to have a real problem if there's too many vehicles out there. So I'm urging all New Yorkers, if you have to go out, please use mass transit. If you don't have to go out, stay in the morning so the sanitation department can do their work clearing the streets.
City schools are shut today. Alternate side of the street parking is canceled for Monday and Tuesday. De Blasio says this could be the biggest winter storm of the city this season.
In other news this morning, a council of Christian leaders calling sexual misconduct allegations against a founding pastor of Willow Creek Church in suburban Chicago credible. A report from the Independent Advisory Group says the credibility of those allegations against Bill Hybels based on the collective testimony of the accusers. Hybels stepping down last year as a longtime leader of the megachurch after a Chicago Tribune investigation revealed accusations of inappropriate behavior with women for decades. The council believing Hybels should have faced discipline if he had not resigned. Pope Francis addressing the faithful gathering in St. Peter's Square yesterday for the Angelus, and as Vatican Radio's Linda Bordoni reports, he called on all of those who have educational or leadership responsibilities to be aware of their role, and based on the readings yesterday, to be wise, discerning, and merciful.
Reflecting on the gospel reading of the day in which Jesus invites his disciples to be good role models, Pope Francis took his cue from the Gospel of Luke, in which Jesus poses the question, "Can a blind person guide a blind person?" He wants to emphasize that a guide, a leader, cannot be blind, but must be clear-sighted, meaning that he must possess wisdom, the Pope explained. Otherwise, he said, he risks causing damage to the people who entrust themselves to him. In particular, he continued, Jesus calls on those who have educational or leadership responsibilities, the pastors of souls, public authorities, legislators, teachers, parents, and he urges them to be aware of their delicate role and to always discern the right path on which to lead others. Then Jesus, he continued, indicates himself as a model for teachers and guides, inviting them to follow his example and his teaching. Jesus, the Pope said, called for an attitude that is meek and merciful in order to be sincere, humble, and just.
Minority conservative activists are calling for African-American voters in Virginia to abandon the Democratic Party. The conservative group hosted a Blexit conference at Richmond's National Theater yesterday. Chandler Crump traveling from Atlanta in a mega hat for the event.
Because Brexit is Britain leaving the European Union for a better future for themselves. Blexit is black people leaving the Democratic Party for a better future for themselves. It's the same thing.
The group's leaders saying they chose Richmond because racial scandals facing the leadership in Virginia show the Commonwealth is ready for a Blexit. We're expected to learn more today about the rearrest of a Long Beach, California man for a deadly explosion. Neighbors surprised to see the massive presence in the area as the FBI searched Stephen Beal's Long Beach, California home into the night yesterday.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, in my neighborhood, to see, you know, 15, 20 guys with automatic rifles out.
Federal authorities arresting Beal yesterday morning. He was charged last year with being in possession of an unregistered destructive device after a May 15th explosion that killed his ex-girlfriend at her place of employment, a spa in that area. However, the charges were later dropped. The FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office are expected to talk this morning about what led to yesterday's arrest and possible new charges. The Colorado House poised to give final approval to the so-called red flag bill. That'll happen sometime this morning. Representative Lori Sain, meanwhile, and other Republicans fighting for more than 12 hours on Friday to add amendments to the proposal, arguing that taking away firearms from people who intend to harm others will not make a difference.
We've heard from many experts, and there's many studies across the nation, including those states that have these laws. People who are intent on harming themselves or others will find another method for doing so.
If past gun owners could have their firearms seized from them if a judge considers them to be a danger to themselves or others. And SpaceX's Crew Dragon has successfully docked with the International Space Station. NASA's Anne McLean and her two fellow space station crew members carrying out a welcoming ceremony on Sunday.
Congratulations to all of the teams who made yesterday's launch and today's docking a success. These amazing feats show us not how easy our mission is, but how capable we are of doing hard things.
The only occupant of the Crew Dragon is a dummy named Ripley, but NASA says it plans to put real astronauts on board the capsule this summer. It will be the first time in about 8 years that astronauts will be sent to the space station from American soil. Since 2011, NASA has been outsourcing its ISS missions to Russia. 13 minutes past the hour. It is a Monday morning. Do hope you're doing well. Christian Hawkins, head of Students for Life, joins us talking about what's happening with their students and how they're standing up against these extremely radical pro-abortion politicians. More on what Students for Life is doing across the country. We'll take your calls as well. 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, Toothtown Pediatric Dentistry in South Lyon, providing exceptional dental care for children from infancy to adolescence. For more information, call 248-486-4030 or visit their website, toothtownsmiles.com. If you want to be a day sponsor and or want to say a message for a loved one or friend, call 877-288-1077.
You don't think it'll happen to you twice. First, it was a fire. My agent was right there and helped me rebuild. Then the tornado destroyed everything again. Both times, my independent agent and auto owners took care of me like someone takes care of family.
For whatever lies ahead, we're always there. Auto Owners Insurance.
For your no-obligation quote, please call Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objective risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
We're having a great Monday morning. Phone lines are open if you'd like to chat with the amazing Christian Hawkins, president of Students for Life of America. Love this organization. They're out there on their front lines. And they have a number of different events actually coming up right around the corner, protesting some of these 2020 presidential hopefuls, these politicians who, how in the world they could do this, but I'm glad they did in one sense in terms of, not that I didn't want this to pass, to protect the unborn and also babies born alive during an abortion. But Kristen, in a way, this is really showing their true colors. They can't hide and claim to be moderate or middle of the road anymore. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Thanks for having me.
All right. So first of all, your thoughts on the vote last week. You probably weren't surprised by it in the sense of who voted.
Yeah,
way?
No, I was not surprised by what we saw. I think it was a pretty sad state. It just kind of sadly showed you where we're at today with our politics when it comes to abortion and just how tight the abortion industry has their grip on the Democratic National Committee. But I think, you know, you saw very clearly the beginning of the 2020 presidential campaign with that vote last week. And President Trump has talked about it numerous times. Vice President Pence has been speaking about it. They, you know, the Republicans know this is an issue that they need to keep talking about because it so clearly shows what the other side, what Democrats are, what they're advocating for.
In terms of their strategy, what could be their strategy? Because what's happening is just the opposite, I would think, of what they would be hoping, because we saw that new poll that came out showing how many people are now identifying as pro-life. It's even with those identifying as pro-choice. So the number of pro-lifers, according to the Marist poll, the most recent one, they've jumped considerably in just a matter of weeks, and it all started with the discussion around Governor Northam and the, you know, oh, we're going to, you know, make the baby comfortable and let the parent and the doctor decide whether he or she will live or die.
That's right. Yeah, and, you know, we had a poll we did this January which showed the majority of millennials actually supported reversing Roe and having the right to vote on abortion policies in their state, and that the majority weren't for this extremism that we currently have in our abortion laws today. So, I mean, I think that shows you just how much influence Planned Parenthood and their money has on the Democratic cycle, the political cycle, the fact that these politicians are so far out of touch with the mainstream, and they don't even acknowledge the polling that we're seeing time and time again, showing that the majority of America is not with them. It's just not, they're not with them.
So how is this going to play out, do you think, in the coming months leading into the 2020 election?
Well, I think you're going to hear President Trump and Vice President Pence talk about this a lot, because I think it's just such a clear distinction between the other side. And I think a lot of times you hear, you know, what's the difference between these candidates? Whatever, whoever I elect, they're just going to go to Washington and do what they want to do, and nothing's going to change for me. This is a very clear distinction and is a very clear example to the rest of America of who the Democratic Party is, that they are so so in bed with Planned Parenthood that they couldn't even vote for a common sense, a pro-human rights bill to protect children who've been born alive during abortions. That's how afraid they are. That's how extreme they've gotten on the abortion issue. And I think this is going to be something that we're going to hear over and over and over again. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to get another vote on this just to get Democrats on record again voting against this.
I don't know if you saw the report that came out from the Media Research Center, but Tim Graham was saying that ABC, CBS, and NBC News did not cover the Democratic vote on this. They eliminated that coverage regarding this issue, which I thought was really pathetic. However, the word still got out through other means, so thanks be to God for social media and other media outlets. We're chatting with Kristen Hawk, the president of Students for Life of America. 877-573-7825 if you have a question. Okay, so what are the young people in Students for Life of America doing? They're going to be out there on the campaign trail, right?
Yep, that's right. We're going to be out there tomorrow, actually. We're going to be in front of key center offices, Senator Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Sherrod Brown, Amy Klobuchar, Senator Warren, senators who are saying they're running for president, that believe that they're qualified to be president of the United States, yet voted against this infanticide bill. So we'd love to have folks come out and join us in front of their district offices. You can go to resistinfanticide.com, and we just put up a one-page website where you can get the information of how to join us. You know, if you're in New Jersey, if you're in Ohio, if you're California, if you're in Minnesota, we want to hear from you, and we want you to be joining us.
We know that Students for Life of America is students, right? But there's also other people that support your group and that
That's
come
right.
out with your various events.
That's right. And everyone is part of the pro-life gen. We need everyone out there. Yes, there's going to be young people leading the charge at these rallies, but we want Americans of all ages to show these elected officials that they don't represent the majority. And in fact, they're in the extreme minority and that they're no way qualified to say that they're going to, you know, be a candidate for president and then turn around and vote against the bill to protect children who have been born alive, infants who have been born alive during an abortion.
877-573-7825. Kristen Hawkins from Students for Life of America. Let's go to Buffalo, New York, line one, and Yana calling in with a question. Hey, Yana, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Kristen, I have a question for you. In Buffalo, we're starting an initiative called Imagine Chastity, and we're going out in front of Planned Parenthood to promote chastity as a choice. We would also like to go to the University of Buffalo, but many of us are afraid to go on a college campus. Do we have a right to go on college campus if we're not students?
Yeah. If it's a public university, which University of Buffalo certainly is, there are free speech zones, public right-of-ways, where you guys are able to walk onto the campus, pass out information, or bring a display of some sort.
Okay, should we have to register with anyone or get permission?
You can. I would suggest you let the university know you're coming, and they can tell you where they, you know, where the public right-of-ways are. I would know going into it that they're probably not going to be very responsive or very helpful. But because it is a public university, you do have the right to come onto campus.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
And thanks also, Yana, for your willingness to do this. Be not afraid. Check it out before you go so you can be prepared. But as Kristen said, you have a right to be there, and we're glad that you're speaking up. 877-573-7825. Kristen, have you seen an increased interest in activities with Students for Life with all of these stories out there about infanticide? What are you seeing among your members?
Well, we're definitely seeing. We're actually getting more Students for Life groups started because of the story. Students are actually contacting us saying, I've been following you for some time, but I haven't done anything. Now I know I need to do something. I mean, that's huge. That's absolutely huge when you think about it. And so, yes, absolutely. These stories, this demonstration of how extreme the Democrats have become is actually helping us get more students, get activated. and get them excited to participate and be a part of the pro-life generation. So I think you're going to see this, you know, like I said, the 2020 campaign has already started. This is going to be talked about for the next year. And if you don't want to talk about politics and employee careers, because this is exactly what's going to be happening. And this is such an important issue. I think it's a sad state, you know, kind of showing what's really going on in Washington, that we can't even get a vote on something that, you know, 90% plus of Americans agree on, and that we can't get anything passed out of the Senate without 60 votes. That's also a pretty sad reflection of where we're at.
But it's reality, and we need to see it, know it, so we can stand up against it and for life. 877-573-7825. Christian Hawkins joining us this morning. Phone lines are open if you have a question, or maybe you're involved in Students for Life and want to share what you're doing. She is the president, Students for Life of America. We'll also give you their website again and how you can get more involved. Stay tuned. Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. We're chatting with Christian Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America, 877-573-7825, if you have a question for Christian. Okay, so again, if people are just tuning in, what's happening starting tomorrow, and where can we get information?
You can go to resistinfanticide.com. We've got several rallies we're planning in key states across the country. We'd love to have your participation joining us. If you're in California, if you're in Minnesota, if you're in Ohio, if you're in Massachusetts, we want you to come out to join us. We're rallying in front of senators' offices, senators who think that they're qualified to run for president of the United States, yet voted against this infanticide ban.
I think all of this, as you and I were chatting during the break, is really a Romans 8:28 situation. All things work together for good, because now we're really seeing where these particular politicians stand. I mean, they were always this extreme, mm-hmm. but they were able to hide behind, mm-hmm. well, we're moderate, we're PC, abortion should be safe, legal, and rare, as if any abortion is safe. But they always tried to downplay their support for abortion. Now they're just all out just showing who they really are.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And I think this is something that, you know, for us, when we're talking to the pro-life generation about why voting matters, why elections matter, I think this is very clear why elections matter, why you have to vote. Because this is what's at stake. And this shows you as well just how deep Planned Parenthood's got their hands into the Democratic National Committee. And I think that's something, when we talk to students on campuses a lot who identify as Democrat or identify as progressive or liberal, they have no idea the big money that's flowing into the DNC, it's flowing into basically progressive politics because of abortion. And it shocks them. It makes them quite upset to find this out. So this is stuff that we can continue to talk and say, look, this is how extreme they are, that they're willing to go against the vast majority of Americans and say that they're for infanticide just so they continue to get their money from Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry when it comes time for elections.
Well, Kamala Harris just said the other day that she thinks infanticide, if the baby should be killed, if it survives an abortion, that should be up to the mother.
Yep.
She just said that the other day.
She also is calling for legalized prostitution as well. I mean,
yeah,
Kamala Harris,
I saw that. Yeah.
I think we all need to be very aware of Kamala Harris and her record. I mean, she is the one who raided David Daleiden's one-bedroom apartment with 15 agents in California after he released the CMP footage and stole his footage. After we know her office had met with Planned Parenthood. I had colluded with Planned Parenthood. In many regards, she's considered one of the front runners for the Democratic nomination.
Let's go to the phones. Mary in Dallas, Texas, calling in on line one, has a question. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just have a quick question. I just wanted to know, when and how in history did Planned Parenthood get all of our tax money? And I know we're trying to defund it, and it's not happening yet, but... And then do they use our tax money to go around, to turn that right back around and support these infanticide candidates with our tax dollars? I mean, how is that happening? How did they get so much money from us in the first place?
Okay, great questions. Well, let me say that we know that there was just a measure that was signed by the president removing $60 million of that funding from Planned Parenthood. So that's a big chunk. It's a start. They still were getting up to $500 million a year. Kristen, you want to give her some background on that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was a slow build, and it came in the forms of Medicaid reimbursements. That's the majority of the funds that they get for the services they provide that are non-abortion services. So STD tests, STD treatment, which is kind of ironic. Like, all of their non-abortion services continue to decline, and today they're only treating about a fourth of the STDs that they actually detect. But they're getting reimbursements. Majority of their money is coming from Medicaid reimbursements from the state and also the federal government. And it started in the 90s and started to really ramp up in the early 2000s. Obamacare, when Obamacare went through in 2010, their federal funding went from about $300 million to $500 million within 1 year because of Obamacare. This is why they were pushing so hard for the passage of Obamacare. No, they cannot technically use the money they get for campaigns. So if they're getting taxpayer funding, they can't use it towards abortions and they can't use it towards political purposes. They have 501c4s and PACs that do that. They solicit donations for those. The challenging part is we're giving them money to grow and expand. So we're paying their building, we're paying for their electricity. We may not be paying the doctor for the 15 minutes he's committing.
No, but you're
the
paying
abortion
to keep the building and the operation open.
Exactly. You're paying for everything else.
Right.
And you're paying for their marketing, and you're paying for them to grow their business with your taxpayer dollars. As their marketing grows, as their business grows, more donations are going to come in for their 501c4, for their PACs, for political donations.
Okay, Mary, thanks. Great questions. Appreciate it. Hope that helps give you some background. 877-573-7825. Do you think more young people, because you're with them every day on the college campuses and high school campuses, are realizing how Planned Parenthood sees them as a customer base?
Absolutely. We launched our new tour 2 weeks ago. It's called Hashtag Planned Parenthood Truth. And all we're doing is telling students about Planned Parenthood's actual business model using their own annual report. And we're telling them about federally qualified health centers and what they do and how they're not in bed with the abortion industry. We had 50% minds changed the first day we were out on the tour in St. Louis. 50% of students we found who were pro-Planned Parenthood switched to being anti-Planned Parenthood when they learned the truth about Planned Parenthood's business model.
And because people don't hear it, and they are promoted through Hollywood and through the news media as these champions and heroes of women and quote-unquote reproductive freedom.
That's exactly right. They simply have no idea.
I'm so glad you're out there. Okay, so again tomorrow, where do we go for information about what you're doing out there in the campaign trail?
ResistInfanticide.com, or you can always just email me and just, the easiest one is just info@studentsforlife.org.
Any idea how many have signed up for these various events going on at the senatorial offices?
I have no idea. Our regional coordinators are organizing this, and we've put out an all call to our entire list, so students and adults this weekend. So I'm hoping we get, between 50 to 100 people at every single rally.
I do, too, and I wish you the best with this because it's so important. The young people are making a huge difference. All right, Kristen, we know you're busy, so appreciate your time. Kristen
Thank
Hawkins,
you.
President for Students for Life of America. Let us know how it goes.
Will do.
All right, honey. God bless. Keep up the great work. And we come back on Catholic Connection. We're going to continue our pro-life discussion. The phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. This morning, I had the opportunity in the first hour, my regional hour of Catholic Connection, to interview Michael Kenney. He is the associate executive producer for the film Unplanned, which is the story of Abby Johnson and how she walked away from an abortion mill years ago, not only to begin working in the pro-life movement and help other former abortion or other workers come out of the abortion industry, but how she also converted to Catholicism eventually. We're going to talk about the film. Some parents are writing us and asking us questions about that R rating. We'll get their take on it, those behind the scenes of the film, and show you how this R rating has in some ways been a Romans 8:28 situation. Plus, we'll talk about the importance of going to see this film at the end of the month and helping to spread the word. Opens up nationwide March 29th. Michael Kinney up next. We'll be right back.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Sometimes marriage is for better and sometimes it's for worse, but when do you know when it's time to seek professional help? Research shows that most couples struggle for 4 to 6 years before seeking counseling. That's too long. Imagine finding out you had cancer and then waiting 6 years to make your first treatment appointment. The good news is that even at such a late stage, trained marriage-friendly therapists report a success rate of over 90%. Not every problem requires counseling, but if criticism, defensiveness, open conflict, or sullen silences are defining your everyday interactions with your spouse, the best studies indicate those are the warning signs that it's absolutely time to call a trained, marriage-friendly therapist. If you're ready to get some new skills, ask your pastor for a local referral or contact the Pastoral Solutions Institute for other resources. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Love to hear from you this morning. If you have a comment on the movie Unplanned, maybe you've seen it already at a screening that occurred. I had the opportunity to see it at the March for Life, and they had screenings through the Catholic and other Christian media there covering the march. 877-573-7825. If you're unaware, Unplanned is based on the best-selling book from Ignatius Press by Abby Johnson. Abby runs a beautiful ministry called And Then There Were None, where her goal is to help abortion workers leave the evil industry of abortion, as she did many years ago, literally walking into the arms of 40 Days for Life and then eventually becoming part of the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Faith. She converted to Catholicism a couple of years ago. 877-573-7825. So the film, based on that best-selling book, is opening up at the end of the month. I think it's an excellent film, and there are some very powerful scenes in there in terms of what abortion looks like, but it's not nearly as graphic as what we see in your average film that kids are tempted to go view in today's theaters. The Motion Picture Association, I think it was all political, decides to slap an R rating on the movie. However, as you'll hear in this clip from Michael Kinney, who is the associate executive producer of the film, whom I interviewed this morning, he's speaking in the Detroit area coming up on Thursday. All of this has turned out to be really a Romans 8:28 situation. We are, though, as a result of that MPAA R rating on Unplanned, which again opens March 29th, are getting some questions from parents about whether they should take their teen children, 13, 14 years old, to see the film. So I posed that question to Michael this morning after receiving an email asking the same thing of me this morning. Take a listen.
I am privileged to be on a tremendous team of people who are working and have conference calls once a week, 20 people around the country. And we were hoping for a PG or a PG-13, but we expected that the major motion picture industry might give us the R for purposes, unfortunately, of sort of blocking audiences that might otherwise be inclined to go. So, you know, we have really talented PR people who have pointed out that actually this makes the pro-life position, that if you're going to label this particular film an R, you must agree with us that the taking of unborn human life is a very serious business. Now, I would say that, you know, an R rating typically results if there is excessive violence or if there is a profanity or something else that is so totally inappropriate for a young person. This film has nothing of that sort in it. It does portray the reality of an abortion, but it does so in a very, I would say, a very appropriate way. So it's a beautiful human story. It's a wonderful story of redemption and joy, and I would strongly recommend that everyone attend. So I would say R for recommend.
Now, in terms of your own opinion, you have five daughters who were talking during the break, and I wanted to share with you an email that I received from another concerned dad, and he asked a very honest question, and I responded to him this morning and told him to listen in. He said, I was curious if the movie Unplanned will be appropriate for my 13-year-old daughter. I would hate to traumatize her. We have talked about the abortion issue, but not specifically what occurs during the process. I listen to you most days, and he says I really enjoy the programming, but he is concerned he has a 13-year-old daughter. So here's my response, and I'll let you respond to what I said to see if we're on the same page, and I think we are. Basically, I told him that he has to decide based on his own daughter's level of maturity and how much you've already told her about what happens in abortion. That said, young people are exposed to so much already, even with good parents such as yourself doing what they can to shield them from the over-sexualized and violent media culture in which we live. Understanding the violence in abortion could help reaffirm pro-life teachings and prevent them from becoming desensitized. No doubt fellow teens, not to mention educators, depending on where they go to school, will try daily to convince young people that it's merely a blob of cells and a choice. Hard to stick to that argument after seeing this film. There are two scenes that are rough, but again, I don't believe this makes the film worthy of an R rating, as it's hypocritical on the part of the MPAA, given all the garbage they label as PG-13 in an attempt to get young people into the theaters. The first is the abortion Abby witnesses on an ultrasound machine. It shows the image of the baby going into the vacuum. The baby basically disappears on the screen, and the camera then cuts to the machine showing some red fluid. This is actually what Abby witnessed and what caused her that very day to leave the abortion industry. The other scene concerns her medical condition, heavy bleeding after taking the abortion drug RU486. It shows the reality of this horrible drug that has been given a huge pass by the FDA, despite the many problems it causes. So I basically summarized the two scenes in there that are in question that you just mentioned. What are your thoughts in terms of how would you respond to Joe's question, Michael?
Well, Teresa, you described it exactly right. I think it's really important for us to understand that Planned Parenthood and those associated with that side of the equation are pushing the envelope to the degree that now there are vending machines on college campuses that are dispensing RU486. So we're in a different place. This is a wonderful teaching moment. I had the privilege of being sent the script before I became involved because I too had, you know, concerns about how is this going to be presented. I was so taken by the artistry of the screenwriters. I also, am familiar with Abby's book, Unplanned, and they tell it exactly as it is in the book, and therefore there's no room for suggesting that we are sort of amplifying or exploiting. So, no, I would say it's almost the opposite, Teresa, that as parents, we have an obligation to equip our children, and 13 is certainly not too young to see this. This is a great father-daughter, mother-daughter moment to go and work through a very important issue.
Yeah, and that is Michael Kenney. He's the associate executive producer of the film Unplanned, which is opening up on March 29th in theaters across the country based on the story of former Planned Parenthood Clinic Director Abby Johnson, who now has a ministry called And Then There Were None. I would completely agree with Michael. I think it is an excellent film, and I think it's done as well as they could do. I don't even want to use the word tastefully because we're talking obviously about abortion and the killing of innocent children. The good news about this MPAAR rating is that the story about them slapping an R rating on this film, Michael told me this morning, actually received 300 hits. So the fact that the MPAA is trying to block young people from coming to see it, it had the opposite effect where it received a great deal of exposure. 877-573-7825. Maura calling from the Milwaukee area on line one. Hey, or actually line four. Hey, Maura, good morning.
Good morning. You recently had Abby Johnson on, I think, and she was talking about the uphill battle to keep this going because of the way the Gosnell movie was treated, you know, and people, they blocked it. People couldn't buy extra tickets. And she said that they were going to try to strategize to have it succeed. Do you have any more information on this? Because you know that it was really a hard fight for Gosnell, and I'm not, you know, we hope that this movie works around that.
I haven't heard anything to that effect yet. I do know that there are a number of people, and Michael Kinney said that this morning in the first hour of my program, that there are many, many people across the country that are buying out theaters. It costs about $2,000, as Abby mentioned a few weeks ago when she was on in the interview that you referenced, Maura. And that's been very successful in getting people to buy up and to have these tickets. Now the idea is to get people to go and fill those seats. So I haven't heard any attempts to block it yet, but we will be on top of that and see what we can find out. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. The film opens March 29th. Unplannedfilm.com is a website. We'll be covering that as we get closer to it. Here in Michigan, Ave Maria Radio is co-sponsoring several screenings, and we'll be talking about that on our website at AveMariaRadio.net. Our verse for today, very appropriate. Gail Buckley joins us next. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Psalm 37:7, Gail Buckley with more on our Scripture Verse of the Week. Up next, we'll be right back. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It is a Monday, March 4th, moving into Lent. Our friend Gail Buckley always inspires us with beautiful scripture verses to take us through the week. Psalm 37:7, that's a powerful one, and it's a reminder that God is very large and very much in charge. I did mention the verse before the break, but I'll let you repeat it again, Gail.
Okay, it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." And, you know, T, this verse came to my mind several years ago when O.J. Simpson was found not guilty of murder. You know, so many people felt sure that he was guilty, myself included, and many were angry that he apparently got away with murder. And, of course, he got arrested later for something else. But at the time, I remember hearing comments from friends who were very upset about it, and I kept telling them, he hasn't gotten away with anything. We are all accountable to God.
Right.
Each one of us will stand before him someday, including O.J., right? So, and he'll be judged and sentenced by the one true judge, and not, because nothing can be hidden from God. He knows every hair on our heads, and he reads our hearts, and he knows the truth about O.J., whether he's guilty or not, and he will judge him accordingly. And so no one gets away with anything. And I thought about this verse again recently in the light of what's going on with the killing of babies up until the moment of birth.
And we were just
all
talking about
things.
That, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like so many others, I'm horrified. And my initial reaction is anger and outrage. But, you know, we can't solve problems with anger. And I'm definitely going to, you know, step up my activity and my pro-life activities and be more outspoken. But as our verse today tells us, we need to wait on the Lord. And that doesn't mean we don't do anything.
Right,
you know,
right.
Of course, we need to do everything we can to save innocent babies in the womb. First and foremost, you know, we need to pray. But we can also write letters to our representatives in Congress, and we can march, and we can educate our friends who are pro-choice or those who don't even know what to believe. Amazingly, there's still people out there that still think the fetus is a blob of tissue. We've talked to people that say that, and I'm amazed at the ignorance. But, you know, this enrages us, and we want to strike out at people, and it's human nature to want justice. And when we witness people doing evil things, and it's hard to comprehend, it's difficult enough to see, but what we need to remember is that God is in control, and he will vindicate those good people, and he will punish the evildoers. And we might not witness this in our lifetime on here, but it will happen, and that's what we have to remember. And how do we know that God will punish the wicked and vindicate the good? Because it's in Scripture. If we continue to read after this verse, you know, David, the psalmist, tells us that we shouldn't worry about evildoers, and we shouldn't be envious of them because they will soon fade and wither. And he also tells us to trust in the Lord and do good, and the Lord will act for our vindication. And he goes on to say that we need to be patient and not get angry, because anger leads to evil. And then, further on it says, now quote, "The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those who walk uprightly. But their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous have than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous." So I'm thinking, in this wicked time, you know, in these times when things are so awful, it's good for us to remember that
while we definitely shouldn't sit on the sidelines and let evil happen, we should also remember that we are Christians and we need to act like Christians. In other words, we need to, you know, when we feel like we want to choke someone who says something like, shout your abortion, we should instead pray and pray for that person. And just as Jesus prayed for his persecutors, as we know, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But the verse that in Deuteronomy, there's a verse in Deuteronomy 32, Teresa, that helps abate my anger. And it says, God says this, vengeance belongs to me. Mm-hmm. I will repay. In their time, their foot will slip, for their day of disaster is near, and their doom is coming quickly.
I'm telling you what, I think we see their feet slipping all over the place right now.
Exactly.
I think what's happening is God is allowing this to be revealed in terms of where these politicians really stand on this issue, where for years they tried to be so claimed that they're so PC and so moderate and so in, you know, cahoots or in connection with the mm-hmm. rest of America on this issue when they're not, and they never were, and now we're seeing it all in God's
timing. It's amazing how
yeah.
they just come out and say these things now. And I agree with you. I think God is allowing them to do this, and it's a backfire on them. I agree with you completely. And they're all infighting over things now as
right.
well. So.
And I also think, too, what's so key that you mentioned, Gail, about this verse, Psalm 37:7, is it doesn't mean that we don't do anything. What it means
right.
is we have to take everything to the Lord in prayer before we act or react to something. We want to make sure that we're in God's will. I was just talking
Absolutely.
To Patty Armstrong, great writer and author that you know, and we were talking about
yes.
writing books, and we're both saying, how many more books should we write? We've both written a ton of books, and we always say that we have to sit back and say, okay, Lord, is there something now, again, that you want me to write about? Because unless the Lord's telling me to do it through prayer, then I'm just going to keep doing what he wants me to do every day. But you take it to him and you say, okay, what's my next project? What should I be doing? Or how
right.
do I react to this? There has to be, what is the proper way? How do you see me helping to be a better pro-life Catholic? What can I do? But you're still before the Lord, and you
That's
let
exactly
him speak.
Right.
We
yeah. have to ask him. We don't fight on our own. We can do nothing without him anyway.
That's right.
So we need to go to him and ask him how he wants us to proceed. And, of course, we have to do it in a Christian way, just as
All
he
right.
tells us.
Beautifully said, as usual, Psalm 37:7, our verse of the week. Gail, thanks so much. We'll touch base with
Thank
you next Monday. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection. Have a great Monday as we move closer to Lent on Wednesday already. We'll see you.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.